And all right, there we go. Takes a second to get there. Good evening. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Are we ready? We ready? Jesus came to show the way. Amen? Thank you for that. And tonight we are going to... Saturday night, we talked about being kings and priests unto God. Amen? We have been... How did we get there? Amen? How did we get there? Why does He made us kings and priests? Amen? I just want us to just stop tonight. I'm going to kind of maybe share some insight on some things and kind of break some things down. Maybe to kind of get an understanding. And through it all, I just want us to recognize how important the Word of God is. That's what gives us, amen, that's what gives us the truth, amen, that's the truth. And I just want to break some things down, so can you come with me tonight? Thank you, amen, amen, hallelujah. So let's go to Genesis, let's go from the beginning, how's that? Are you ready? I'm excited. I like talking about the Lord, amen, and His purpose in our lives, and He's good, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just pray to God, Lord, that You just add, these are words written by men that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Amen? This is the Word of God inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, I pray that that same inspiration stirs our hearts, that we can be awakened to it. See, when you can unlock something through the Word of God, it sets you free. It begins to break things. It begins to loosen things. There's some things that sometimes that we don't rule the way that God intended us to rule. Amen? Like kings and priests. Amen? So we are called to rule and reign and to have authority and to overcome. And we have been given that. Amen? Right? Yeah. Okay. And so let's take a look at this. Let's look at Genesis. This is where it all began. Genesis 1:26. And I'm going to read a few scriptures and you just come with me. Amen? And it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." Say dominion. "Over the fish, the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, over all the earth." Say all the earth. "And over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." It's the creepy things. Come on, amen. I want us to get this. It's the creepy things. Anything that moves upon the earth, you are to have dominion over it. Come on, I want you to see this. You're to have dominion over it. You're to have rule over it. Amen? It's not to rule over you, but you're to rule over it. Hallelujah. And this is the Word. Say, this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. This was in His heart. This was God's heart. That we would rule, hallelujah, in the earth. As in His likeness and His image. This is what we're called to do. I mean, this is our calling in our lives. And He says, so God created man in His own image. Wow, in the image of God, He created him. You look like God. Tell someone you look like God. You're royal. You are royal. We got to recognize that and see that. We are made in His image, His likeness. Wow. He looks different. Come on, amen. He looks different, man. And it says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish, the sea, over the fowls of the air, and everything, living thing that moves upon the earth. Now, I'm saying these couple things, and I just want you to get them because they're powerful. Amen? So, let's look at 2 verse 8, and He says it again to them. This is the Word of God, and He's declaring it again to them. And He says, in this verse 8, and the Lord God planted the garden east in Eden. So where's the garden? It's east. It's east in Eden. Sometimes we jump over these things, and it's important because God puts together this unbelievable picture, and He places things and puts them into words, and everything lines up with one another. It's just awesome. If you just get excited about this really is good. And He says, And every tree is pleasant to thy sight and good for food, and tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I want you to look at the tree of life and recognize it is Christ. Amen? Say it's Jesus. He said the tree of life is in the center of the garden, and it is Christ. I want us to recognize it. So let's jump here. Let's keep going, and let's look at verse 15. 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it. Catch this word. To dress it and to what? Keep it. Tell someone keep it. This is the word of God. He says, and to keep what? Dominion. To rule. He's already commanded them that you're called to rule. Now keep it. I've given you the authority. This is God saying, this is yours. Now all I need you to do is keep it. I placed you here. I've given you this dominion. Now keep it. That's all you got to do. Rule. I've given you the power to do it. I've unleashed it. I've let it go. So here we go. Let's go to Genesis 3. Come on, you know the story. Something's happening here. In Genesis 3, it says, now the serpent, what's he do? He crawls. He moves. Remember the creeping things? Now remember, they were called to do one thing. What? Is have dominion and keep it. Now here comes a serpent that has no authority, no power. None. None at all. They are the rulers in God's image and likeness in the earth. But here comes this creeping thing. And it says, and he was subtle. Let me look at this. I like this here. Let me look at this. I like sometimes reading different versions. This is the message. Now the serpent was clever, more clever than any wild animal God had made. He spoke to the woman, do I understand that God told you not to eat of any tree? Okay, now listen. Here's the moment where everything begins to turn. This is it right here. I want you to see that here's the doorway. Because I want you to recognize this is the power of where we lose our rulership, okay? And we stop keeping what God has called us to do. The Word of God was given at that moment for us to have dominion. And all of a sudden, here comes the serpent, and this is what she did. She began a conversation. She began to communicate. She began to converse with that thing that creeps. I want you to know that and recognize at that moment, all of a sudden, that rulership, something, and she began in her mind, in her thinking, she began to reason. What did she reason? The word that God gave them. She began to reason in her mind. She began to think. She began to try to reason it out. I want you to see this and understand that this is what happens, that our rulership begins and it ends with us, what we believe in. What are we believing? Come on, amen. Do you know faith is a gift of God? But believing is you have to believe. That's something that you have to do. You've got to believe. You have to take hold of it. You've got to stand on it. Amen? He's given you the faith. Amen? He's placed it in our hearts. And you've got to believe in that. You've got to stand on it. You've got to take hold of, by that moment, say, God, Lord, I stand in this, God, though this gift that you've given me in faith. God, Lord, I stand in it. And He will move you. Amen? By faith, we believe. So we got to be able to take it. But she began to reason. So at that moment, all of a sudden, all that what God has called them to do, the rulership He's given them, amen, it was broken at that moment. They disagreed with what God said. So I want you to know that sometimes that in our lives, there's a rulership and a dominion that we know we lose because of what we're not believing and hearing from God. And we're not taking hold of that, standing on it. Doesn't matter what it looked like out there. Doesn't matter what He says. I'm not going to carry a conversation. How many times have you carried on a conversation with yourself that you know, I can't have this conversation with myself? And at that moment, it opens a doorway. and you begin to lose that authority. He said, I want you to keep it the way it is. I want you to see this. I'm not going to be able to get all this done. I wrote all these notes down at lunchtime. I kept going. I had a little notepad, and I was like 8 pages of little notes. I was like, I got to stop. So he says, I want you to guard it. I want you to keep it. Don't reason in your mind. Listen, in Hebrews 11:6, it says, God blesses. Let me read it here. Hebrews 11 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder, say rewarder, of them that seek him. He's a rewarder of them that seek him. Those that seek him, that are seeking after him. I want you to see that they are blessed. Amen? They are blessed, those that seek him. Those that are seeking after God. Amen. Those are who he blesses. And we could take hold of that. But listen, we could see, and I began to think about this. I began to think about how that when Jesus was, the presence of God was there. So I want you to know, what did they have? They had the presence of God. They had the presence of God there. Keep it the way it is. And I want you to know what was powerful there. What was so powerful is that word that this connection they had with God. His presence was where? It was there. Because we can look here and we can jump. Let's jump to the next scripture. Verse, let me see. It's in verse 8. 3:8. And it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. I want you to see there was an innocence, and the thing that kept them, say what keeps you, is the Word. See, when they had that, they were ruling, they were reigning, amen, they had authority. Do you know that Adam named all the animals? Come on, amen. Animals that weren't even there. Think about it. They couldn't have all been in that place. Like a well. Every animal that there was, he named it. And God says, whatever you name it, that's what it'll be. I want you to hear this and recognize this. This is the authority that he had. Whatever you say, I'll stand by it. See, that's the relationship they had. See, it went both ways, because whatever I say, just do it. Take hold of it. And by you doing what I say, amen, I'll bless it. I'll keep it. I'll honor it. And we'll stand in that relationship together. So here they are. He named all these animals. He named them all that. And so they were in this relationship that they had with God, this communication. And then all of a sudden, from this point on, after this moment, after they began to walk away from the Word and they didn't take hold of the Word, it says that they were hiding from the presence of God. Hiding from the presence of God. They were hiding from the presence of God. Keeping them, I want you to see that. By not believing that word keeps you from the presence of God. Keeps you from that. Because he can't do anything outside of his word. So, am I making sense? And he heard the voice of the Lord walking, he says, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called out to them, where art thou? And he said, I heard the voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. I was naked. I was ashamed. See, I want you to know that, listen, outside that word, it's the word of God that closes us. It closes us. It strengthens us. It empowers us. It gives us the authority, the righteousness, standing in that kingly, priestly authority that has been given to us. But as they stepped out of the word, it left them naked, ashamed, afraid of God. They were afraid of God. So I want you to know, it clouded their, they began to reason in their head. about what they really, who they really were. Listen, it's not how we fight the devil. It's how we keep the word. See, we're not called to fight the devil. We're called to keep the word. And we're going to get into it because I'll give you a couple scriptures that go right with that. Amen. In Revelation 3:18, let me look at that real quick. I just want to give you some of these scriptures so you can kind of see. Revelation 3:18 says this. It says, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. Say clothed. And that thou shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thee thy eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I will come in and sup with him. And he with me. Listen, how do we have a relationship with God? In our thinking, believing. What we're believing. Amen. It's by faith we believe in what He did. We believe in that. We sup with God. We have that presence of God. That relationship with God. And He says, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me at my throne. Even also I overcome and am set down by the Father in His throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now, I can't get into all of that, but this is a message given to John. And it was a direction of him to give to the church, saying, listen, I've made a way for you back into the presence, amen, through Christ, amen. He was standing there. This is the message that he declared. Jesus spoke this to John, amen. And he was saying, listen, and here's the powerful thing. I just want you to get this. Give me a second. He says, and these are the letters that he was writing to the churches. Amen? To the churches that were in Jerusalem at the time. And he was saying, he says, I give you this to go tell them, to write to them, let them know, to come and buy from me. Amen? They weren't moving in the way that they should. They weren't entering into the authority and what He's placed for them and the power that He's given them. Amen? So He says, I want them to take hold of what I have, amen, and to walk in that power. So here's Jesus standing in this place saying, listen, follow me. I'm going to bring you to this. So, let's go back to Genesis. Hey, guys. Genesis 3:22, you there? I just want to keep going here. And the Lord God, behold, a man is become as one of us to know good and evil, and how lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Listen, this is powerful because he's recognizing that you can't do this on your own. Amen? And then he says this. He says, and therefore, say therefore. Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground. So they were leaving the garden. Say, leaving the garden. And the ground from whence he was taken. He says, so he drove them out. He drove out the man and he placed at the east garden. Say, east garden. East of the Garden of Eden. He specifically says that. And he says, angels and a flaming sword which turned every way. Now, are you ready for this? What are they there for? To what? Keep the way of the tree of life. To keep the way. Listen, I want you to recognize something. It wasn't to keep them out, but it was to keep the way. It was to keep the way, what the way that God has intended for man to rule and to reign. Amen. So there's a way back in. It means it's not shut out. It means there's a way back into the presence of God. What was lost, that authority, that rulership, there's a way back. Say, there's a way back. Come on, amen. We sang about it. There's a way, and His name is Jesus. And I want you to see here, this is powerful, because He made a way for us where there was no way. There wasn't a way. God knew that this would happen. God knew that they would do that. But He made a way where there wasn't a way. And it says that He put angels there. That word angels can mean, it's so powerful, because Jesus is the angel. He's a messenger sent by God, amen, to make way. The sword speaks of the Word of God. Say, Word of God. And so, to get back in, we need the Word of God. Amen? We need the Word of God to get back in. We need to take hold of that and understand that. And God gives us angels to bring us back into the mess, whether it's through apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, that we can recognize and to come back in and to recognize. So how does God give us this way? So how is that way? I want you to see that God longed for relationship. He longed for that. But He was going to give a shadow and a type of what He longed for. And so here, Him and Moses are having a conversation. And Moses is longing to be in the presence of God. He said, because I don't want to go without you. I need your presence. How can I have your presence with us? I need your presence. Come on, amen. I want you to see this. So God says, which God communicated with Moses. He said, I got it. He says, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to build a tabernacle. So Moses took all that God, say he took the word. So I want you to know, this is how they were getting back in, because he obeyed the word. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to build it this way. And we can remember the box, how it was. There was an outline. There was every one of them. We talked about this before, but this is powerful. Study up on the tabernacle because it's powerful. Amen. It's a shadow. Come on, amen. It's a shadow of what is to come. Amen. It's a shadow of what is to come. So the ark or the you can just look at this. There's a square. I wish I had something to write on. I do. Thank you. I just want to draw this for you, just so you can see. So here it is. The acrostic. See that? He says, so this is the square, this is the outline of it. And then here's what he says. There's a door. But this is built specifically. Remember I said east? I kept saying east. There's a reason. He said, listen, here's where it's going to be. You're going to enter. I'm going to make a way. There's going to be a door, and it's going to be your enter in the east, from the east. Listen, where was God's presence? In the east of Eden. So this is the picture. He said, now you're going to enter into my presence this way. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, my heart. Enter his courts with praise. So then you enter. Yeah, there you go. Thanks, buddy. Then you enter. This is the outer court. Amen. These are all symbolic. Here's the outer court. You enter in. And then when you enter in, you can go into the holy place. But then there's a divide. Come on, say curtain. There's a thick curtain. Now, at this time, the only one that could go in to the presence of God was the high priest. And that high priest, he says, and here's what you're going to do. My presence is going to be, I want you to have a box, amen? And there was manna in there, come on, there was the commandments, his word was in the box, amen? The bread was in it's a picture of Jesus. Come on, amen? There's nothing about that itself. It's a picture, it's a shadow, it's a presence, amen? So here it is. And then he says, you're going to make out of solid gold two angels. And they're going to be facing each other, come on, amen? They're going to be facing each other, amen? And he says, and below that is going to be the mercy seat. So what you do as a priest, you go into there, you sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice in my presence. I consume that. Amen? He says, and there's sins are forgiven. Say, make a way. He's making a way for that. He's making an access because he longs to be in your presence. He says, we're going to make a way. That you have a faith to believe what I said. That you don't begin to have conversations. That you are empowered. You don't have to listen to the serpent. You don't have to believe what the serpent says. But I'm going to give you authority so that you can access me. So here it is. Here's this. He gives this demonstration, this symbol. Hebrews 1. Let me look at these couple scriptures real quick. We're good. 7:10. Go for me too. Two cups of coffee, too much, man. Huh? What? No, I'm not wearing a diaper. You bad, bad. Listen to this. Hebrews 10:1 says this. He says, for the law having a shadow of things to come. It was a shadow of things to come. The very image of things can never, with those sacrifices that in that tabernacle, amen, offered year by year continually make the comers perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscious of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Amen. For it is possible with bulls and goats that we should it was able to take away completely the sins of us. Amen. So here's God making a way. Let's look at Hebrews or verse 19. Same one. I just want to give you these. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Amen. By a new and living way. By a new and living way. Come on. He's the way which has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having the high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Say, draw near. With a true heart in the fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke one, and it goes on. But I want you to see this. And he began to tell them, he said that he made a way. Remember this, when Jesus was on the cross, it says that they were still going into the tabernacle. They were still going, and there was still a curtain. When Jesus was walking on the earth, there was still a curtain. There was still, you know, that presence, that example of him. He was the tabernacle. And it says there was that curtain. But when he was on the cross and his flesh was torn, it says the veil in the tabernacle was ripped in two. See, that's what Jesus did on the cross. He was torn. See, that curtain kept them. Only the high priest could go into the presence of God because of the curtain. But Jesus on the cross with his flesh, amen, tore it forever. So now there's access to where? To the presence of God. Because of Jesus making the way, remember that sword that's declaring it, this is the way, come on, follow me, where are we going? We're going to the presence of God. Where? Where that you get that authority to rule with power, amen, if you keep his word. Listen, are we making sense? Genesis, let's go back to Genesis again. Because here's where we can see Genesis 4. Here's the questions that you get in your mind that you want to think about, that you want to write down to ask. Amen? That we can try to answer them. Because this is one of the reasons why I'm going over some of this, so that we can kind of recognize and see and understand what he did and why he did it and where we're going. Amen? So, Genesis 4, 6, and 7. Remember, they are in the presence of God. Okay? It says, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou mad? Why is thy countenance fallen? This is God still desiring relationship. Come on. And he says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin, say sin, lies at your door. Creepeth, creeping. Come on, he's talking about the devil. He lies at your door. And he says, unto thee, and he says, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. He says, if you do well, if you do well. Now, I want you to know that it was impossible for him to do that outside of Christ. But he was saying something. The enemy is outside your door. Come on, amen. And he is trying to get you outside of your rulership. He's trying to draw you away. I want you to know that, listen, it's the same thing. That here's what happened. He began to reason in his mind about God, and he got mad at Abel, and he didn't think his was acceptable. He didn't think he was good enough. He didn't think he was worthy enough. Where did he get that? The enemy was outside his door telling him things, and he was having conversations with the enemy and pulling him again away from the rulership that God was drawing him to. So he believed it. He reasoned in his mind. Come on, I want you to see that here's Jesus. He comes and he is in this room, and all the Pharisees and Sadducees are all sitting. All the preachers, all the ones that should know the Word of God are sitting in there. And he was present to heal them. He was right there. The presence of God was there. But it says that as the guy broke open the ceiling, do you remember the story? And they lowered him down, and he said, by your faith, you are healed. Amen. It's by you believing. Come on, amen. What changed everything? Him believing in that Word. He was the way. They made it to the way. They grabbed hold of the Word. They believed it for themselves. No one could make them do that. Every one of them here had the opportunity to believe the same thing at that moment, but they chose not to. Here's the problem. It says that Jesus heard what they were thinking in their minds. He was outside their door, and he said to them, why do you reason? Why do you not believe? I'm the way. I'm calling you back into the presence of God that you can rule. Amen? Here's this guy, and he is hurting. He is broken, and there's things that have taken over him. And he says, I'm bringing you back to the presence of God so that you can rule over sin, death, and the enemy. And they're sitting there reasoning in their mind, I don't know, just like Adam and Eve. That's what gets us in trouble. That just brings the place where we lose rulership. Amen? The Bible says in Romans 6:12, it says, let not sin therefore reign. Don't let sin rule in your body that you should obey it. You should rule. Amen? Don't let sin, because I've made a way for you. So don't give it, don't reason in your mind. Don't stop for a moment to take hold of it. Amen? Take hold of everything that I say, because it's life and death. Amen? As you believe it in your heart and begin to take hold of it and let it begin to grip you, get a hold of you, begin to change you and move you. Come on, that's what's so powerful about the Word of God. It does that if we let it. Amen? Because we're made to rule. Tell your neighbor you're made to rule. You're made to rule. You're made to reign. It's in your DNA. And he says, I've come to seek that which was lost and to make a way back. So here he is. He made a way. He says, and to rule. John 17. Couple more here. Let me read out of my Bible here. It just feels comfortable sometimes. Amen. You guys know this is like my blankie. And these are the words spoke Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven. And he said this. This is in his prayer to the Father. This is his prayer. This is what he's praying. And some of us might not, when we read this, you kind of don't get it. But with what I just said to you, I hope that it kind of registers in your mind and say, wow, this is the heart of God. This is God's heart for me. And he said this. He says, Father, the hour has come to glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify you. What was it all about? He says, I'm going to glorify you. You're going to glorify me. I want to glorify you. And he says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, you've given me power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. Say, he's kept it. He has kept because he's ruled on the earth. Jesus, remember the enemy was, he did the same thing to Adam and Eve, as he did to Adam and Eve. When the enemy came to have the conversation, where did he go? To the Word. Where did he go? To the Word. When the enemy came and began to, he wasn't having a conversation, but he was having it with the Father. He was conversing with the Word of the Father. He wasn't reasoning in his mind what the enemy said. He was reasoning what the Father said. Amen? He was coming back with God's Word. Listen, I want you to know, sometimes you might have these thoughts in your mind, but you need to come back with, don't begin to take His words and think about His words. Amen? You think about God's words and then it'll overcome. It'll overcome. Come on, it will take over in that moment. You have to declare it, grab hold of it, and begin to speak it. Amen? And he says, and as thou hast given him power, he says, and I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou hast given me done. Listen, he's not even to the cross yet, but he's declaring, he says, I'm going to finish this. Amen? Come on. Because you told me to. So there's no other way. I'm finishing what you told me to do. And he says, I have glorified thee on the earth. He says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept the word. Now remember, come on guys, I just want you to see this. He has faith in you more than you do yourself. Because, listen, this was before he went to the cross. Peter was going to deny him. Come on, I want you to see this. They were going to forsake him. They were going to run from him. But he says, they have kept thy word. I know it, man. He says, in his heart, come on, you're going to keep the word. You're going to keep the word. He's speaking over them. He's speaking. He's declaring it. And he's saying, and I have meant, he says, and now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, and remember, a lot of them didn't believe, but he's believing in them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given, for they are mine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. He's glorified in you. God was glorified in Christ. Amen? He says, now I want you and you to be glorified in you. I want to be manifested through you. Amen? He says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep them through thine own name. Say, keep them. Stay with me. I want you to hear this. Thou hast given me that they may be one as we are. Amen. What's the heart of God? That they be one as you and I are. I am one. I don't say anything but what you said. Come on, this is what Jesus was declaring. And he says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that you gave me, I have kept. I have kept. There it is again. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak into the world, that they might have their joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them the world, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. Don't take them out. Remember, he put us here. But keep them from evil. Don't take them out of the world. Amen? So the key thing was what? To keep the word. And if you keep the word, God will keep you. See, that's the key. He says, I will keep you from evil. If you keep my... What is it? He's the word. So if you keep his word, it'll keep you from what? Evil. That's believing. If I keep the word, it'll keep me from evil. Let's look at Psalms 91.
And this scripture will make a little bit more sense to you, which you've read it and we declare it. Psalms 9:1:1. Hang on. Here we go. You ready? He that dwelleth in the secret place. Remember where the secret place was? Y'all remember? It's in the tabernacle. Remember it was in the secret place of the Most High, where God's presence is, where His presence is. And He says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Those that abide in His presence. Say abide in His presence. Those that abide in His Word. Those that stay in His Word. Come on, amen. He says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress and my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth, His Word, shall by thy shield and buckler. They shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence. He said this. He says, I pray that you don't take them out of the world, but you keep them. Come on, amen. Don't take them out of the world. Amen. We are in the world. Come on, but we're not of the world. And he says, 1,000 shall fall by thy side, 10,000 by thy right side, but thou shalt not come nigh to thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. Come on, amen. My dwelling place. This is the heart of God, that you be His dwelling place. And the way that we're His dwelling place is abiding, what? In the Word. Come on, amen. And he says, remember, Jesus was God in the flesh on earth. He abided in the Word of His Father. Everything the Father says, I say. He abided in it. And God made Him His habitation. He made Him His habitation by abiding in the Word. That's why it went through there saying that I've kept thy word. I've kept thy word. I've kept thy word. I've declared thy word. I've spoken my word. I've given your word to them. Amen? And he says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall thy plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, and lest thou dash thy foot against the ground. And they shall tread. Remember this. Remember, the enemy told him, he says, if you jump, you won't dash your foot upon the ground. That's what the scripture. He was manipulating the scripture. Come on. He was manipulating the scripture to get an advantage, to get him to reason in his mind, Jesus, but he didn't. He stood in the habitation in the Word of the Father. And then he says, for he shall give his angels charge of thee. He says, thou shalt tread on the lion. Now remember what we talked about from the beginning, with their rule over all that's in the earth. Here's what he's declaring. He says, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the snake, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under his feet. He says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him, honor him with long life, and I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. If you what? Keep my word. Remember, Adam and Eve ruled and reigned in Eden when they kept the word. Things didn't rule over them, but as soon as they stepped out of keeping that word, the enemy came in. It's standing outside our door, but it has no power of us unless we believe. Unless we believe it in our hearts, take hold of it, and reason in our thinking. Amen? Has no power over me. No authority. Say no authority. Keep thy word. Last scripture, John 8. I think. I said a lot of stuff in this amount of time, so you should be proud. And said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. Nothing of myself. He said, but as the Father hath taught me, everything that He said. Amen? He says, I speak these things. He says, and He that sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. And He spoke these words, and many believed on Him. And then Jesus said to the Jews which believed in Him, if you continue, say continue. Stay. If you keep My word, then you are My disciples. You are My disciples. You are like Me. In My image and likeness. As a king and a priest in the earth. Representing God, come on, and ruling and reigning on His stead. Having power and authority over everything that creeps. Stay in My word. Keep My word. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall what? Come on. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It'll make you free. It'll cause you to be free. As you know My word, it's what's going to free you. It will bring you back into the presence of God. That's what the word of God does. I want you to know that as we begin to understand, we begin to take hold of the word, it brings us back to where we lost from. It brings us back into rulership. It brings us back into sonship. It brings us back into His image and His likeness. As we know it, it sets us free. It makes us completely free. From what? From ruling and reigning the enemy has had tried to have over us. From the authority that he's had. It makes us free from it. You have no control. Satan, you have no power. You have no authority. You are a creeping, dirty scoundrel that has no authority over my life. Come on, amen. I might have made you into a dragon, that now you walk around and have power and authority, but Jesus made a way back into the presence and gave me authority to speak and declare. Come on, amen. And to speak things in the earth. And the authority that I have. Listen, Saturday night I want to talk about the anointing. Thanks. The anointing that we have. Tell someone we're anointed for this. We're anointed for this. I'm empowered to do this. I'm empowered. Amen? Come on, I want you to know that, man, when we begin to take hold of it and walk in that authority that He's given us, man, it makes life different. I'm telling you, it makes life taste good. It makes life better when we recognize it and we get out of the flow of the world and the system of the world where that you just have to put up with it and shut up with it and do whatever comes your way. But we recognize the anointing that we have upon us. Amen? That we could be like David where that Goliath stood there and everybody else took it. Took it. Everything that he was saying, they took it. They were hearing it and just standing there. And David said, we don't need to take this. We're anointed for this. Let's go kill some giants. Let's kill some giants. I want you to know that, man, we're anointed for this. We are kings and priests anointed for this because Jesus made a way where there was no way. But back into the presence. So you want to recognize and see the authority that Adam and Eve had brought us back to that place. Wow. And rulership. Wow. And the other thing I want to mention too was the son. Remember, by the going down of this, by the rising of the sun to the going down of the sun. Amen. Listen, his presence. Whew, listen, there's a place, there's room for everybody in his presence. Amen. But as long as you enter in the gate, the doorway, he is the way. Amen. You all get that? Any questions? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Amen. Hallelujah. I just want you to be encouraged. I want you to walk out of here knowing who you are, knowing that we don't have to put up with. Listen, I texted the custodian, told him that I was shutting off the heater, the big one, because it's going to be warm, the one down in the back. But I didn't say shut. I said something else. And then I texted him back, oh, my bad. I didn't mean to say, I did it again. And I can't. So I texted him again, and I finally said, shut. He texts me back. He says, go ahead and the big boiler. LOL. Oh, amen. There's power in our words. We've got to watch what we say. Amen. So listen, I want us all, and the other thing to do if you're on your own studying, you're looking in the Bible, look at the power and how that Jesus brought different people that were rulers, okay, in the world. As rulers, they had an understanding of rulership. Amen? And Jesus used them as examples. Remember the guy that was a ruler and he healed. He said, just send your word. Come on, just send your word. I know what a ruler, I know the authority. Just send your word. The words are powerful. His words are powerful. His words are powerful. They trump anything the enemy says. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, Lord. It's your word that makes us free. Hallelujah. It sets us free, God, Lord. It's your word, hallelujah, that draws us back in your presence. It's your word that causes demons to flee. It's your word, hallelujah, that causes us to rise up. It's your word that gives us joy. It's your word that gives us peace, hallelujah, hope and happiness, God. It's your word, God. And Lord, I pray to God, Lord, that it stirs within us tonight. I pray for right now, God, Lord, what's in me, God, hallelujah, what you've given to me for your word. I pray right now, I declare it over your people right here tonight, God. I decree that hunger for your word, God. The desire for your word, God. The craving for your word, God. I declare it and speak it over your people tonight, God. Hallelujah. A hunger and a thirst for your word, God. Because the enemy wants to keep us wordless. Hallelujah. But God, Lord, if we know the word, it'll make us free, God. And I just speak it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless somebody.
Okay. Most of you that knew me before would get it. I had a bad cough for like 5 years, and they finally decided, doctor to doctor, that it was caused from my allergies. I started taking shots. They kept saying I had COPD, and I was resentful because I never smoked, and it was awful. But anyway, I had, in 2016, I had a PFT test, which tests your lungs, how deep you can breathe or breathe out, and it wasn't very good, and my lungs were damaged. But the doctor that I went to, the new doctor, the heart doctor, sent me to this other doctor. When I went there, he said, you do not have COPD. He must have said that to me 5 times the first visit.
Yes.
He said, because you've never smoked. He said, but I want a scan of your lungs, which, come back, my lungs were damaged. I saw him yesterday. Yes, yesterday. He said he likes the PFT once a year to make sure how it's progressing, getting worse, whatever. So I had the PFT, and then I was to see him right afterwards, and he showed me, compared them. My lungs are healing. There is a tremendous improvement from 2016 to today, or yesterday's. And he said it's because I was so contingent with obeying what he told me to do. And so by fall, he was do it now, he said, but he's afraid because this is the time of year I usually get sick, that I usually have issues with the allergies. So he doesn't want to tamper with it yet, but in the fall, he's going to start trying to take me off some of the medicines for my lungs. I was so excited because I never heard of, once you've got damaged lungs, that they heal. But he said, yes, that asthma can be healed. Thank you, Jesus. And I believe, and I'm going to be rid of this cane, too. That's the next thing that's going. My back is going to heal.